Hey guys, how are y'all?
What is up?
This
Round
is
two.
crazy, really.
This is actually the second time we've recorded
Yeah,
this.
we recorded like what, an hour and a half of stuff
Yeah.
and had to come back and redo it, but it's okay. Seems like the enemy doesn't want this to get out, and that is
Definitely.
just more,
It's reassuring.
reassurance that this is what God wants us to do, and we're excited to do it.
It is definitely some reassurance. Peyton has a scripture she wants to share.
I really like the scripture because I feel like, the next two episodes are going to be about our testimony, and I feel like this really hits home with our testimony. So it's going to be in Deuteronomy 20, starting in verse 3. It says, "He will say to them, 'Listen, Israel, right now you are advancing to wage war against your enemies. Don't be discouraged, don't be afraid, don't panic, don't shake in fear on account to them, because the Lord your God is going to be with you to fight your enemies for you and to save you.'"
That's good. And we are waging war
Yeah.
right now by
Yeah,
doing this, by
literally.
recording this a second time
Yeah.
today. Something that
Crazy.
was already like an hour long. We're waging war and we're gonna be victorious, you know. And that just rings true as a call, you know, for the whole generation. I wanted to make sure I put that in this one too, because
It's
that
true.
was it's true. That's a call to the generation that a war is being waged, but we are equipped to battle. We are equipped to
And
fight.
that's for all of God's people. That's for everybody. Like, he wants to fight battles for us because he put his son on a cross to fight our
Right.
battles. His son died for all of that for us,
Yeah.
and it's not our battle to fight. That's God, God's
Right.
thing.
And I did want to take a minute to just kind of tell you guys what to expect in these next in all the episodes actually. It's just real and raw, and we're going to be vulnerable. I know I have never shared my full testimony, and
Haven't shared
I
the
think the
true
f
either.
First, are we having mic difficulties?
Of course we are.
Of course. But we've never shared our full testimonies before, and so this is gonna be deep
Challenging
and
and raw
challenging, and there
and
may be tears, there's gonna be emotions, because it's just we've never shared this side of ourselves. And so just be mindful of that and pray for us, honestly, to get through that. So God, we just thank you for this opportunity, and we thank you for the many blessings that you've already poured out for Resurfaced, and just the overwhelming support that we've already received and the excitement that we're seeing on others. We just thank you for that, God. And we pray that as we start this off, that we would just allow you to speak through us, that not only our hearts would shine through, but yours shine through us as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to start with mine.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yay!
Yay.
So, like we said, we've already recorded this once, so it's kind of weird to just tell all this again.
Yeah,
But
but it's
we're
okay.
gonna try our
And maybe
best.
this is for a reason too.
Yeah, maybe there's something I left out. Who
Yeah.
knows? So, I really wasn't a troubled kid.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I got in trouble very much when I was a kid. I mean, I
No.
did kid things, and
You were never like, "Oh my God, that kid's gonna be so bad." You know, like, no.
it was never anything like that. I think a lot of my troubled this started in middle school, and that was kind of middle school was rough, and I think middle school is rough for everyone, but middle school was so hard for me because that was middle school is the first time I ever like felt a suicidal thought, and just that was when my mom actually brought me to Texas Children's to be evaluated because she truly thought I was gonna harm myself. And like I said, middle school's already an awkward time, but
Yeah, you're
you're going
developing,
through
you're going through,
puberty, your
yeah.
body's changing, things are happening, but then when you feel like the world's against you
Yeah.
already,
Yeah.
and then you actually like teach yourself to agree with that, it actually happens, you know? I grew up in church, Babdecostal, that's what I like to say. I always went to church with my mom, and then I'd go to church with them. She's my cousin, by the way. Our moms are sisters, but I always grew up in church, and then, like I said, middle school was kind of where things took a turn. Dad, I love you. But me and my dad, we haven't always had the greatest relationship, you know, and a lot of things stem from that, and he's not the only reason that these things, there's plenty of other reasons for things to go on. But him and mom always working off like they did, I felt alone a lot of the time, you know?
It's hard.
And so that feeling of being alone just allows you to sit and you don't have anyone to teach you, hey, these emotions are okay, but let's work through them. Let's not compartmentalize and let it boil and fester into these things that we shouldn't, you know? So just kind of fast forward a little bit. Got through middle school. Nothing crazy after that really happened. I made it through high school pretty easy, but my senior year was, I was ready to party. And that's really when the partying started. And all that partying was, I was looking for something to feel something, or to not feel anything, actually. I was tired of feeling. My senior year, and this will tie into your testimony in the next episode, there was a lot of loss in our community, you know, and people our age that we were seeing be lost. And so that was hard to see, and people that I care about, you know, that's hard to see. And so with that, I was like, okay, well, everybody else is doing this to feel better, you know, maybe this will help me feel better, you know. We're just, we were dealing with things that we shouldn't have had to deal with at 17 and 16, 18 years 17, old.
Terrible.
So we were all just looking for something to make us feel better.
Looking for something. Mm-hmm. Something.
And so I did that for a little while. Drank, partied hard.
Yeah.
My goodness. Sure did. We thought we were having fun. We were 21. We didn't know. It's crazy 18. To look back how just we thought we were having fun, but how destructive that really was
so
to ourselves.
Unhealthy. And like looking back now when I'm learning, I don't know about you, but I'm learning kind of how to cope. And when I deal with significant loss, like we'll hear in my testimonies, the difference, you know, of how to cope and how to run to God to things is so different.
Yeah.
Like, so different. Like, not losing things or going through things doesn't have to be, like, you know, taking things off of you and it's just, like, chipping away at you. It doesn't have to be like that. God can be restoring you through that, you know? Yeah.
Well, and little did we know that's what was happening. Little did I know that's what was happening. It was just full restoration that was taking place. But it was, I believe that God put me where I was in that season. Because
He turns everything for His good.
And I think it was a true test of faith, too. How long, how far was I going
to
go?
How far were you willing to go?
Right. Yeah. And apparently it was pretty far, but it wasn't. It's never far. It's never too far for God, you know?
Yeah.
And so that all that happened and everything with the loss and just wanting to party and to feel something. And I wasn't only coping with loss. I was just coping with the
loss
feeling
of abandoned,
feeling like everybody in the world was against me because it was just me. I took care of myself. Totally. Nobody took care of me. I took care of Cade, my little brother. And so that was hard. And it's so hard to grow up, to have to be an adult. At 16 years old, I was getting a 9-10 year old ready to go to school every morning. And so, because when I was able to drive, we didn't need a babysitter anymore.
Yeah.
So I got myself ready. I got him fed, what got us to school, all the things. And so there was always a sense of, oh, I missed out on being a kid. Mm-hmm. I missed out on being able to do these things. And so when I graduated high school, I really think I told myself, like, we're about to be a kid.
Yeah, exactly. I deserve this. Like,
yes. And that's it was an entitlement. I felt entitled to, which is a misconception.
Yeah, and it's also a misconception that is what being a kid is, you know?
Right,
and
that's not what being a kid is, you know?
Well, that's what every 21 or 20 or 18-year-old or 16-year-old does. Like, no. That isn't normal.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be normal.
No,
you know?
It shouldn't be. But
that's
it's
what
sad
the,
that
that's
it is,
what
but
the devil tries to do is he tries to make sin look normal and make being a Christian weird and not normal, you know?
Yeah, and I'm definitely experiencing that now, and I'll get to that. But so I thought I partied right after high school. Mm-hmm. Nothing really changed from when I graduated in May of 2019 to, when did I move? August 2021 is when I moved.
Yeah.
Me and a friend got super drunk one night, decided we were going to go look at an apartment the next day, and then we signed the same day that we went and looked, and we moved.
In Sam Houston?
In Huntsville at Sam Houston State University. We were going to go to school. We were, honestly, we took it as, we were not planning to go there to just continue doing the things we were doing.
To
we
party,
wanted to change.
Wanted to
Both
better.
Of us were craving something different outside of this small community.
Yeah.
And then the thing about living in a small community is everybody knows everything and everybody knows everyone.
And they all got different opinions, and if it don't match theirs, it's wrong.
Yes. And so, and that was something we were both kind of running away from, is we were just so, it was no longer about our roots. Mm-hmm. We were tearing out roots. Yeah. We were planting new seeds. We were not about
just wanted to run away.
Yeah. It was just, we were done. And so we moved off, and we went to school for a little bit, and then things picked back up again. I mean, we were both going, we both went out and partied and everything, but nothing too crazy. I mean, we were smoking weed and everything. I mean, so then already, well, then we both turned 21, and it was like the opportunity was there on a bigger level.
Yeah.
There was a whole other world that we had never been exposed to.
Oh,
you know, I mean, I've always heard of bars, and I've been to bars, but they're not
like
the good, they're not what I would call the good bars, you know, like they're not the ones you want to go to. Mm. They're the ones that adults go to. And so, excuse me. And so we started hitting that life hard. And it led to other things. Drugs, excessive use of alcohol. I can tell you right now, in our apartment, in our kitchen, there was cabinets above the stove and the refrigerator and everything. And, I mean, it was filled with liquor cabinets, with liquor bottles within a matter of weeks. Full.
We moved in stock.
Whenever I moved out, I was taking them all down, and I was like, I'm going to count them for fun. There were 180 liquor bottles and wine bottles up there. And I was like, we drank that much so fast. So fast. And so, and it's so crazy because doing all that, it was like, I would look at it, and I knew that it was wrong.
It's like an accomplishment, though,
that I was doing, but something would tell me, like, oh, be proud of that.
Yeah.
Be proud of that.
Like,
that
it felt
devil.
like, oh, look at me. I can drink
anybody under the table.
Yeah, literally.
You know?
That's how I was, too.
And so where I was working at the time was not a good environment. It was a little restaurant out in the Woodlands, and so that was not a good environment. We would work doubles, make $300-$400, and then go spend $300-$400 at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was affecting me financially. It was getting to a point to where it was a problem.
Yeah.
And it was a problem at this point. And so we would do all that. We would drink so much. And then I'd get behind the wheel and drive home.
Yeah.
30 minutes to my apartment.
So
and I can tell you right now, I can't count on two hands how many times I have walked in my door or gotten up the next morning and been like, oh, my gosh.
How did I even make it home?
When did I get here?
Yeah. So bad, though.
It's
like,
so
how did
crazy.
How did we survive?
How did
genuinely,
we think
by the grace
that
of God?
Literally,
like,
that's because
seriously.
God did not, it was not our time.
Yeah.
God definitely had a plan for
I've
us.
I've had so many moments like that in my life.
And so then I was, and one specific morning it scared me because I was like, okay, Trey, you gotta lay off.
Wake up.
Well, that sure didn't happen.
Yeah.
Because then I just started doing more drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I just found different drugs, uppers
to wake
instead
you
of
up.
Lowers.
Yeah.
Coke, Molly, all these things. And so that led to even more destructive behavior. Mm-hmm. I never was like, oh my gosh, I need like coke or anything. Like, I was never like anything like that. I was like, oh, I'm too drunk. I probably need a bump.
Yeah.
You know? And so it got to that point, and it went downhill fast from there. I was having issues with my used to be roommate.
Mm-hmm.
God has fully restored our relationship better than it's ever been. And I praise God to that because I couldn't live without that friend, you know?
She's awesome.
And so, and she's living her best life right now. I love it.
Good.
So, we started having some issues. She moved out. And when she moved out, oh, man. It was on like Donkey Kong. I had a glass coffee table that one morning I woke up and it was, I didn't even remember it. We had drank and done so many drugs. It was like solid white. We had bought so much cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
I've never told anybody this either. We had bought so much cocaine. It's a wonder the amount that we did. And there was just three of us. It's a wonder, like, because it's dangerous.
They're,
I mean, it really is, especially in these days and time. You never know what
laced,
you're getting. Laced drugs are so crazy.
Yeah.
And so we did so much cocaine, and we were like, it's a wonder we aren't dead.
Yeah.
And so we just kept going. Well, then one specific night, and this is kind of when things begin to turn a little bit for me, is I had been out after work, And I got home about 4 in the morning. Mind you, we closed at 10.
Yeah.
I mean, I had been out partying. We even went to after hours. Mm-hmm. And after hours where we would go, you could, if you wanted to do drugs, you just lined up in the bathroom and there was a guy that would stand at the door. And he would ask you what you wanted.
Yeah.
And so, and he would just give it to you. Mm-hmm. He didn't charge you nothing. It's probably lace drugs, honestly. Definitely. If they're free, they're not. They're probably not good drugs. So that night I had gotten home and I walked in my house and I had opened another beer because I was like, I'm going to drink another beer before I go to bed. Mm-hmm. And then I was going to be up in a few hours anyway to go back to work. So I was going to keep drinking then too, just so I can get through the day. Can't beat it, join it. You know, that was always the thing that we did.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have to edit that.
That's okay. You were having a beer before you went to bed.
So I drank that beer and, started to drink that beer and I felt something just kind of go whoosh, like over me. And I didn't like react to it. I just felt something. Something was in, something supernatural, I would say, was in that apartment. And at first it kind of scared me because I was like, I was sitting on my couch and I was just like, what in the world is this feeling like? I couldn't put a pinpoint on it. And when I heard just the small voice, this the first time I heard it, it was like, make the move. And I was like, I am not moving home.
Yeah, that better not be what you mean.
Who is telling me this, but I'm not moving home. You're crazy. I'm not moving back to that hellhole is what I considered our community, you know? And so I was hell-bent against it. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
And so didn't really think anything about it. I finished my beer, went and laid down, and I had finally dozed off. And I woke up dead out of it, like out of this sleep, dead awake, or not dead awake, wide awake.
Really? We're not dead.
Wide awake. And I heard with my physical ears something so powerful say, make the move, get up now. And I knew right then that that was the spirit of the Lord.
Yeah.
That was
it's undeniable, like
the
you know.
Supernatural voice of God because it was just, and then it like I remembered finally, I was like, oh my gosh, I know that feeling, and that was kind of a turning point for me. Like, I forgot what the presence of the Lord feels like, it had been that long, and I had gotten so far away from the heart of the Father that I forgot what He felt like.
Yeah,
I can tell you. To this day, the first time I ever encountered Holy Spirit, to when He fully took over and just consumed me. Yeah. I can tell you to this day exactly what where I was, what that was like, everything. And for me to sit there and realize, like, oh my gosh, I just forgot what the presence of God feels like. That was
heartbreaking,
gut-wrenching. It in a sense, it makes you feel
like you're not enough. Like, it makes you're not worthy.
Feel gross. Like, I have done so bad. I've gotten this so far from God that I just don't even know who He is anymore.
Yeah.
And so, at that, I listened to that loud. I mean, it was so loud, Peyton. Like, it was crazy. I've never heard, at that point, I had never heard God speak so clearly. And it was like He was standing in the room.
Yeah, like, just shaking you, like,
yes. And so, I went back to bed. I called and I quit my job because He told me to.
Yeah.
And so I called and I quit my job. I took a little nap because I was still a little messed up. And so.
That's insane, bro.
I packed up my truck and I drove home. And I've lived at home ever since. And when I first moved home, I was like, okay, I'm going to stop all this craziness. Like, I know what I'm doing is wrong. I know that this isn't pleasing God. This isn't advancing the kingdom in any way. I'm dismantling the kingdom in a sense, you know? And so I started going to a little church that we have around here for a little bit. And I started finally getting closer to God. And then it was like, whoosh, the enemy just whooshed back in and was like,
not today.
Not today, you're not, you know? And at that point, so I was rebaptized in October of last year, of 2023. I had not been baptized since I was, I think I was like 7 or 8 when I got baptized the first time. So it was definitely time for a dunk, you know? But my heart wasn't in it.
Yeah.
I think that was a important thing that happened. Yeah. I don't discredit anything like desire. That at all. But my desire wasn't there.
Yeah, it was like a fire that could be blown out, mm-hmm. and this is just... This,
lukewarm.
Yeah, for sure.
Like we talked about in the first episode.
Yeah.
The first time we recorded this. So it's just, I wasn't ready. And so shortly after that, I fell right back into a life of sin. Drinking. I found myself lusting over people, mm-hmm. and I was never that person before.
Yeah.
I never was attracted to just sex. Mm-hmm. You know, I never have been that person. Mm-hmm. And then that even, like, it was like something new came over me. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, cool, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And that was honestly probably one of the biggest besides alcohol, mm-hmm. that I struggled with in that season was just lust, mm-hmm. you know? Sexual lust is...
Yeah. And that is such a...
It's a powerful attack that, group.
Yeah, and the devil uses that because it's so normal, mm-hmm. you know? It's okay because God made sex, and yes, he did, but he made that
it for a man and a woman in marriage,
you know? And in my testimony, we'll get to that, but, like, the devil really attacked me on, you know, like I said earlier, making the sin look normal, you know? You're kidding.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. It's still recording.
Is it? Are you sure? Okay, hold on. It is. Woo! That was crazy.
That was scary.
Okay. Any hitty McDoody.
Anywho, so where was that? Struggling with sexual lust.
Yeah,
alcohol was playing a big issue again, and I just fell back into this. Wasn't as severe. I wasn't doing drugs. Mm-hmm. God had definitely taken some control
away,
in my
but,
life.
Yeah.
You know, and vaping. Vaping is a big issue for me, and it's mm-hmm. something that I struggle with, and God is delivering it from me. I'm not vaping now. I want to die because I'm not vaping
but
now.
It's a process.
Right.
It will get better.
And I know God's going to take that from me,
yes.
but he wants to show him my will.
Mm-hmm.
Show him that, hey, I know God does. I know you don't like this, Father, but are you willing to give it up
mm-hmm.
for him, you know? And so, fell back into that for some time, and honestly, I think that might have been the point when I was in my most destructive point, because mm-hmm. I was destructive. I was already destructive within myself to the point where it was nothing.
Yeah.
There was no, the city within me was destroyed, you know? And so I started moving on to other people and wanting to be the gossiper, the person that always, I'll be your friend to your face, but, and I'm, will fully admit to that. I was a very fake person, you know, and God is really changing and working on me.
Yeah.
But I was that person. I'll be your friend to your face, but...
Turn around,
I will turn around and talk about you, depending on who you are. I had my friends, you know, and I had my people that were always safe because they kept me safe.
Yeah.
But, or so I thought.
Yeah.
And so... Fell into that, and that was probably one of my most destructive times,
mm-hmm.
as far as other people go. I just wanted to carry destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And then Spring of Life started in May, Mother's Day,
Day.
Mother's Day was the first Spring of Life service. If you don't know, Spring of Life is a new something.
Something, we're in it and we don't know.
And we're okay with that.
Yeah, we're totally okay
with that. Spring of Life Revival Center is a new thing in our community.
We just call it a thing.
Yeah, we're just going to call it a thing because we don't know.
A God thing.
It's a God thing, yes. And we're seeing such a powerful movement. So check them out on Facebook. Spring of Life Church Votol on mm-hmm. Facebook. But love y'all.
We're up in the fire department in Thicket.
We're up in the fire hall in Thicket, Texas. Every Sunday night. But so that started. And I mean, even you knew my hesitation with that.
Yeah.
I was not fixing to go up in there, but I got invited.
Yeah.
You know, you, Marley, Casey, Anya, all y'all invited me. So I was like, well, I'm
there was
not going to tell them no.
There was a curiosity.
There was. Yeah. I wanted to know because I respect Dean.
Yeah.
You know, and I love all the leaders.
Yeah.
They've all played big influences
In your life. Yeah.
You know,
growing
some of
up,
them were
Tracy,
past
you know,
youth,
we all,
youth
yeah.
pastors. You know,
yeah.
I mean, they shaped me in a big, impactful way.
Yeah. Sure.
And so I was like, okay, well, I love all these people, and I'm not going to tell Anya no. So
she will drag me there.
She will. And so I went, and I went with a closed-off heart, a closed-off spirit. I wanted to nothing to do with anything that was going on.
Don't talk to me. Don't touch me.
And I think that was, I honestly think that that was, I think I fell into or gave into a spirit of religion because I was like, well, I don't worship this way.
Yeah, well, that's really heavy in our community. It really is.
We do see a lot of that. But it's crazy because that was a lie. Because I do worship. You know, I love, and God's really talking to me right now, and I don't want to get too much into this, just about what radical worship looks like. Mm-hmm. And the word radical means to alter the something. It's to go against nature.
Yeah.
Something that's not.
To instinct. Go against instinct.
Go against instinct. Yeah. And God's really breaking into
me. Our instinct of our human flesh is to be comfortable. Yeah. And I'm sorry, but when you're in love with Jesus, it's never comfortable.
It is great. No.
It's never comfortable.
Sometimes
he doesn't
it is weird.
Want
sometimes
us to
it
be
is different, you know.
If you're comfortable in the kingdom of God, then you're not moving forward, period.
Right, right. There's no place for comfort. There is comfort in the kingdom of God, but
it's
comfort
a comfort
of
from
going
him.
Closer.
Yeah, but you're never going to be comfortable in the world.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Ever.
And so, I just knew. I was like, I don't want anything to do with this. So then Dean preached, you know, his message that night about redigging old wells.
Yeah, spring up wells, spring up a well.
I can honestly, and I've never testified to this part either, is when he first said his message, it shook. That's kind of, it like made some
redug
cracks.
Your wells,
it made some cracks because then it's like this, that spirit of religion was like, whoosh, because I heard that and I clinged to it a little bit, you know, even though I wasn't doing it, God was clinging to it for me, you know? And so I kind of think some foundation was shaken a little bit. My foundation was shaken because I just remember thinking, this is my home. This is
your heritage.
My heritage. This is who Wimmy was. Yeah. You know, this is all the things
and
that I've grown
Wimmy,
up around.
You know?
And beyond Wimmy, going back,
which is awesome.
Generations, you know? And so I remember thinking to myself that, well, then he did the altar call and first was not going to go up there.
Yeah.
I really wasn't.
It's intimidating.
It is.
Especially when you feel so far away from God.
And if you know Dane Love, he's got them eyes.
And he's so prophetic too, so
and
you know
so
when you're
powerful.
Taking that step and you know that you have been running from God, it's like, okay.
And then he looks at you and the eye contact is, oh, I know
piercing,
you know.
Yeah.
Why
yeah.
are you looking at me, sir?
God
don't
just gave you
out.
A flash of my entire life. Please don't come up here.
And so I went up there because everybody else did, you know, and when I got up there, I was worshiping. I had kind of broken through a little bit already, you know, and I didn't. And I thought that, okay, this is probably going to be enough for this service, you know. Maybe this is just maybe not my service, you know. Mm-hmm. And so then we made that eye contact, and I looked at him, and then I just looked away.
Quick
away. And then I kind of glance up, and he's walking towards me, and then I see you, like, you were in front of me, and you moved over a little bit, and then your mom starts following him, and I'm like, oh, no. And then he comes and puts his hand on around my arm around my shoulders and everything, and I was just like,
here we go.
I know everybody felt, I, like, could tell that I was so uncomfortable, but it wasn't uncomfortableness
like,
as of like, why are you touching me or get away from me? It was
you were running, kind of running and hiding
running.
From God.
Yeah,
you were hiding from
God. I wanted
God.
To go hide behind them chairs in that fire hall.
The conviction, you know.
And
I,
so,
that
I will never forget the words that he spoke to me.
Yeah,
and he said that,
so awesome.
He said, the devil tried to mark me for destruction.
Mm-hmm.
But God has marked me for greatness and that I'm going to begin to step into destiny and all these things. And here we are.
Yeah,
I mean,
literally.
Look, this is destiny. This is God.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody truly questions
our
God,
here, like, and God,
I've got plenty of people they can talk to and me and you and Casey being one of them. I mean, our family is just so blessed the past. Oh gosh, I might start crying. Our family is so blessed the past year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've had family members beat death.
Yep.
We've had family members come out of darkness and anxiety and depression, and we are so blessed.
The generational curses that have been broken in the past year are crazy. Like, genuinely.
And so, I got that word, and I was filled. Holy Spirit wrecked me.
Yeah.
That night. I've
And like I feel like the spirit of religion came off.
Yeah,
like,
a lot of things were felt shed, free.
Yeah.
And so I'll never forget the feeling that I got. That was the first time I had truly encountered God in a very, very long time. Very long time. And so I was like, oh my gosh, like that's what God feels like. Now yeah. I remember. And I felt close to him, and that closeness has stayed mm-hmm. for some reason. And I've been praying about that. Like, why did you do yeah. this time, God?
Yeah,
like,
what's different?
And he spoke to me and he said, because you're taking the time. You're spending time yes. with me. I'm getting up and I'm making it a point to at yeah. least take 10 minutes a day
yeah.
to sit down and read my word
and learn who he is.
Because that's literally his heart that yes. you're holding in your hand.
And this is what I've talked to my mom about, you know, because we were kind of talking about the first time we recorded was, you know, the desire and, like, knowing God, it's work. And it's not just, oh, he's a genie, he snaps his fingers and we're all fixed and
right.
banded up and go. No. This, he literally gave us a handbook of everything that we're going to go through in life and things that are going to, that we can face and temptations and all these magnificent people that have literally sat at the feet of Jesus and have followed him and still messed up and they were still forgiven. And we have a whole handbook that is giving, that's showing us what to do. And we're just like, nah, like we're not going to,
yeah.
you know, it's like me, you. Coming right here and we're saying we're friends and I never want to get to know you, but we're saying we're friends. That's not how it is.
Right.
Never. Why would I trust you if I don't know you?
Yeah.
Why would I think that you'd be there for me if I don't know you? You know, and that's the same thing with God. Like, he's shown us, literally wrote it out for us that this is who he is, that he's never going to forsake us, and we're just going to not read it, you know? Like, and I feel like that's such a, like, it's a tactic that the enemy wants us to believe is that we don't have to read the Bible to go to heaven. We
right.
don't have to, like, we can know him outside of that, or it's not going to do anything for us, or it's too hard to read. Like, that's just not true at all.
Right. And so, that first service I had, that was really a captivating moment.
Yeah.
Like, I really believe that is, like, the first time in my life that God has truly ever had my heart, mm-hmm. my whole heart.
Yeah.
And I think that spiritual leaders, spiritual mothers and fathers, mm-hmm. spiritual mothers and fathers are very important, and I've
yeah.
never had that before.
Community, you know?
Yes. And just like we were talking about earlier,
the devil wants
to keep you away
yeah.
from community.
Exactly.
Our
community is such a good community. You
it
know,
is
we,
such a good community.
We do have, obviously, all communities have their problems, but this community has come together in such terrible times. Like, I have been in three of those terrible times,
yes.
so close to that situation, those situations, and I have felt so loved. But, you know, sometimes when we're, you know, so negative and wrapped up in our own darkness, every little chip away is just so devastating. So
right.
we just take it and run with it, you know?
Yeah. Well, so then, the next service?
Yes.
Right?
The 2 weeks later.
2 weeks later, yeah. So at first, they only had service every
2 weeks.
Every other week,
yeah.
right? Yeah.
Every 2 weeks.
And so the next service, they're having a baptism. And I felt a lot of hesitation. Your mom
mm-hmm.
actually just texted me
yeah.
one day and was like, hey, do you want to get baptized?
Mm-hmm. Period.
It took me a few minutes to text her back because
it's like, oh, I've already been
I knew that I needed to do this.
Yeah.
But then this spirit of shame and
condemnation
came in
yeah.
because I had just, so that was in May. Yeah, that was
yeah.
in May. I had just been baptized.
In October.
The
so
October
that's...
before, so just a few months. October,
yeah.
November,
Six
December,
months.
January, February, March, April. 7 months.
7 months.
7 months before, like, what are people going to think? What are people going to think that, oh, I'm just doing this because
take a bath.
I want attention,
like
yeah. or I need to bathe or something. I don't know.
Take a dump, babe. Need a good drink.
So that was something I was dealing with. And so I just put all that aside and I did it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I didn't break free from shame until the first revival service.
Yeah,
July
17th.
7th. Okay. July 7th. Just recently.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was June. So I'm going to kind of, I'll go back to this. But on June 17th, it wasn't July 17th. Like
oh,
I thought earlier.
Okay.
It was June 17th. Because
okay.
it was that first, right before the
yeah.
hurricane. that first set of revival mm-hmm. they tried to
oh,
do.
Oh, yes.
And then they had to cancel.
Yes,
so, at that revival service, I was set free from anxiety and depression. That is a side, and anxiety and depression are side effects of just all my past,
trauma.
You know, traumas, all the things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I was set free from that. And it's crazy because I didn't even realize
yeah.
that I had been set free until about 3 weeks later. Mm-hmm. And I looked into my little to-go bag and I was like, my antidepressants are in there, and I sure have not been taking those.
Yeah.
And these antidepressants are not antidepressants you can just stop taking. Like, it's
turkey.
Very dangerous
yeah.
to not take them or not be weaned off.
Yeah.
And so, I looked at them, and I was like, well, thank God I'm not dead right now.
Yeah.
Like, that could have been so bad. And so, then I was like, oh my gosh, I was set free. And I remembered. And then
yeah.
I remembered. I was like, when's the last time I took one?
Mm-hmm.
And it was the morning of
that
Sunday night revival.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And so I was like, oh my gosh.
And okay.
I mean, I
yeah,
texted like three or four of the lead. I texted everybody.
No, that's awesome, as you should. I mean,
and that's something that's so important is when you notice something like that, you notice, text somebody, find a friend,
yeah.
find your spiritual mother or father.
Yeah.
Text them, call them. Hey, just want to let you
God
know, like, look
me.
What God did
yeah.
for me this week. And so, that's important, and that's one thing that's helped me.
Mm-hmm.
So, did that, been set free from that, feel great.
Awesome.
I've never felt true joy here. I felt joy
and
here.
Freedom. Yeah.
But there's a difference in joy
your emotional
here
joy,
and then, joy
and
here.
Then true joy.
Yeah.
Because yes. our emotions lie to us. Our, like, you know, my happiness can waver, you know, as my emotions do,
mm-hmm.
but true joy in my soul, you know, from
yeah.
the Lord.
And so, I wasn't going back to, like, the shame I was feeling
mm-hmm.
about being baptized and everything. I was not released of that shame until actually recently.
Yeah.
It was that service. It was the first,
mm-hmm.
again, the first revival service that this one had. And in that week before that service, it was rough.
Mm-hmm.
I was feeling, starting to have these feelings again of, I'm not worthy. Like,
I
don't deserve this.
Yeah.
I carry too much shame and
mm-hmm.
I carry too much baggage. And
I done too bad. Like,
so I went into that worship, not into that worship.
Service.
Well, I went into worship, but
yeah.
I went into that service I was expecting
something.
God was going to free me of that.
Yeah.
I went in, I prayed about it all day. I had been praying about revival
mm-hmm.
already, that, you know, hearts would be restored.
Yeah.
And little did I know that I was praying
was
about
yours.
My heart.
Yeah.
You know, a part of me that I had not yet let God into,
yeah.
you know? And so I'm worshiping, and Kay Markendale, Holy Spirit showed her the shame
yeah.
that, because when she came over to me, she put her hand on my chest right here and
mm-hmm.
said, freedom.
Yeah.
And she knew at
yeah.
that moment. And that's honestly the last thing I remember, because let
yeah,
me tell you, that was a radical, here we are with that word again,
yeah.
radical encounter with God. That was something that defied everything that I could ever imagine, because I'm telling you, my spirit left earth that
yeah,
day.
I get that.
I left. I was no longer in the fire hall. My body was there.
Mm, Jesus was so in there.
And Kay, Miss
so
Kay
insane.
will testify to
yeah.
that, because she felt it too.
Yeah, I
it
remember
was,
her saying, she looked up and she was like, huh?
Like, everybody's at the front, and we were both like,
the
when
service
did Tracy
is over?
Do a
what?
Culture call?
No, for real.
Like, what in the world? And so, that was just like, that was a breakthrough for me.
Yeah.
That was, like I said, I had, on the first service, I had not encountered God in a long time,
yeah.
and I finally encountered him. But he brought his encounter to a radical
mm-hmm.
level.
A face-to-face encounter with
him.
It
was.
And Jesus was so up in that room. I'm not kidding.
He was. Well, you and Brandy had that
yeah,
vision.
Yeah, we had the same vision, which is insane.
Crazy.
Literally weird.
So crazy. So, he broke me from shame that night. And then, two nights later, that night, he gave me a word for a young man.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, he started... He
Working
was
in
instructing me to
yeah.
start pouring him into others,
yeah.
you know, and
he was
flowed
showing
over
you,
into
like, you
the
are
next
worthy
night.
And
you
I
are
am
worthy.
Going to use you
yes.
for good.
Yes,
yeah.
and so, and
that
was
this happened In that revival.
In that revivalism, we was gave it our that, yes.
It was that next day, or the
I think
end,
it was the last service. Night.
It was the last service. We like,
well, because the service before, we had not been
we
obedient.
We were not obedient at all, and we like literally were looking at
we
the
literally,
service.
I had a vision, and yeah. then she felt led to pray yeah. for someone, and we neither one of us.
And the next day, the service was about being obedient, and yep. we were like literally kept looking at each other and like.
Like crud.
God, we see you. We see you.
We hear you we loud you. And clear.
And then after the episode, we were just like, okay, yes, sir.
Yeah. I mean, this literally just took off faster than we could.
Yeah.
Ever
we
imagine.
Said yes. And the next day, we made a Facebook account and went on live. Like, yeah. pretty much.
And so that was a crazy encounter yeah. with God that I, it's honestly, there's not a lot of words
yeah,
to
you can't describe
explain
that.
It, which is, I think is how pretty much every Spring of Life service is.
Yeah, honestly.
There's no words. And he continued to use me, even yeah. in that revival, mm. my friend, I yeah. mean, we prayed that kid hard, mm. you know, and we came into agreement that God was going to free him from those things.
Yeah.
And God did. And yeah. he's still walking in complete and just tangible freedom.
That's
like
awesome.
You can see freedom
yeah.
in that young man's mm-hmm. face. And I'm just so excited about what God is doing. Like,
yeah.
It, and when you see stuff like that and you finally experience it,
yeah.
it's like feeding the fire.
Yeah. And
you
it's
know?
Like, where, like, why did it take me so long
so
to get to this point? Like,
to realize that.
And the thing about it is, like, especially for us, we have grown up in that and we have had encounters with God. And it's like, why did I ever give that up? You know?
Right.
It's like, just insane.
Why did I get so far away from that?
Yeah.
When
it's because, you know, we were like giving, you know, the enemy likes to give counterfeit of what God
mm-hmm,
does, and
right.
we had this holy encounter, but then, you know, we have dangle a carrot in front of our face and was like, but this can give you more.
But look what
know?
Drugs and alcohol
exactly.
do. God can take over your body,
yeah.
but so can drugs
yeah.
and alcohol.
And that's what
but
I'm saying.
It's
counterfeit. It's
you know?
Counterfeit. Every single bit of it.
That's
and the
crazy.
Devil has
I
no
never
new
thought
taxes.
Of alcohol, yeah. drugs and alcohol like that, though.
Yes.
You know? Like,
because, I mean, people call it like a Holy Ghost high. People call that like that. Or being
drunk
on the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Like, but, and the devil loves to twist
everything
that,
well, if I can,
that is
if
for God.
If God can use my natural body
mm-hmm. he would
to
use
do
my,
that,
why wouldn't the devil
well,
do
then
the
why couldn't I do the same,
you know? Exactly.
Wow, that's
yeah.
so good.
Isn't it? Crazy.
Come on.
Period.
So, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, that's my testimony
and
everything.
Awesome.
And it's just
like,
utterly a, basically, it's there's hope.
Yes.
I promise you, if someone, if there's two people in this world that can tell you yep. what true hope is, they're sitting right here.
Literally.
And our experiences, our traumas are different, but
yeah.
in
both
the end,
feel...
it's still... It's still a God thing. Sorry,
yeah,
I thought
okay.
this thing paused
no,
again.
No, it's okay. It did trip last time. I was like, "Are you?"
But it's just another example of the gracious and forgiving powers
yes,
of God.
Yes,
is
yes, yes.
If we can come back, you know, there's nothing
yeah, if he
that
can, if he can
someone
save
else
me,
has
he can save
done.
You.
Yes,
much, yeah.
and I mean, we literally were. Running into the arms of Satan.
Yeah.
Not worshiping Satan or anything,
no,
but that's what we were
literally
doing.
Literally, waking up in the morning, shaking hands with him, like, yes, sir, I partner with you. Like,
yes.
literally.
Yes.
Like, over and over
so,
again, we did that.
And it's crazy because I've never been one to believe as far as, like, that anxiety and depression
mm-hmm.
was something I
that,
could
it used to make
with.
Me mad. It used to make me mad
yes.
when people were like, oh, Jesus can set you free. I'd be like, no, a doctor literally told me, it's literally was on a CAT scan. Like, he literally pretty much said I needed to be medicated and I need to go to therapy. Like, shut
it
up.
It was so irritating.
It was so irritating,
then,
but that's what the devil likes to do.
Yep.
When the truth is spoken, he wants to turn it and be like, no, that's yep. not the truth. That's not the truth. Mask it, you know?
So, yeah, but... That's it. And this is just going to flow over into
yeah.
more. This is just going to be more of our testimony.
Yeah.
This isn't even the end of our testimony.
No.
Right here.
Our
just
testimony
because
is never
we're telling
ending.
Our testimony
yeah.
doesn't mean that that's the end of it.
Yeah.
You
it
know,
never.
We're still building even
yeah.
more to testify about.
For
like,
sure.
Look
this
what
is
God
the testimony
is doing.
Itself.
Yeah. I mean,
know?
We've, like I said earlier, we've been so blessed already just in this new ministry.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that God is going to use this for.
So much
more than
just us sitting in my
trailer
house.
Or just us sitting in your spare bedroom.
Yeah.
You know, who knows what doors God
yeah.
is going to open up and
whatever
allow us
to do. Whatever
he
wants, man.
And, but like we were praying earlier,
yeah.
I think our goal is just to make sure that we not only want our hearts to be shown, but we
yeah.
really want to focus and our point main the focus, focus to his, is
his heart.
Heart.
His heart.
And so, and I think that's important, again, to say is that's all we want. Yeah. We just want to glorify God. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's our goal here. Yeah.
And so. Like through his testimony, I want to encourage people, like we kind of said before, that if you are feeling or went through any of these things or this testimony just really hits home with you, just really just getting anywhere, wherever you're at, if you're in your car right now or in your room or watching on in your living room, whatever, just open your heart to God in this moment and just tell him, okay, I really just want to hear you. I'm hurting. This happened to me. And yes. I just need you to show me that I am worthy of your love, you know? Yeah. Because we are, you know, he truly loves us so much. But yeah, that's pretty awesome. I'm so glad that God delivered you from all of that.
I know, me too. It's crazy to think how literally this time last year
is so different.
I was probably in a bar.
I mean, even 8 months ago.
Yeah, I mean, even less than a year ago. You know, it's just
It's
mind-blowing to know that
the growth and
here I am.
What he can do is telling just completely
what God did for me.
And 180.
Eight months ago, I was running away from what God could do for me. You know? And so and if you don't have someone to reach out to, message us on Instagram, Facebook. Yeah. We have TikTok.
If you even know us personally,
you can reach out to us personally.
Whatever.
Snapchat, if you have us, we I ain't giving out my personal phone number to just anybody.
Not anybody, but if you know.
No, I'm just picking. But just reach out to us if you need anything. If you have a need in prayer, just reach out to us because that's what we're all here for.
Yes,
it's community.
Community.
That's what this is. Even though you'll be watching this on a completely other day than it's been recorded,
we still forever want that.
We still forever do want you guys to know that we are
family,
always thinking about y'all.
Family.
And we love our resurfaced family.
Period. Also, like, follow, subscribe, share.
Yes, all of the things.
All the things. We want this to reach as many people as possible so people don't feel alone. And the heart of God is shown and shared. And, yeah. So, tune in next week.
Yes,
and we'll be talking about my testimony.
And yes, we will be
trauma.